Red flag for Raptors.
It's time for Blessed to Play on EWTN Radio, uncovering the role that faith plays in the lives of sports professionals from around the country. And now, here's your host, Ron Meyer.
Fire, score!
My guest today is a returning guest, and may I say a friend of the program, Michael McGlynn. He's a former Notre Dame offensive lineman under Coach Lou Holtz. He played in all four major bowl games. That would be Orange, Sugar, Cotton, and Fiesta. He's also a talented musician. He recorded with legendary musicians from Gloria Estefan and the Miami Sound Machine, the Allman Brothers Band, and Genesis. And he's also the creator and founder of AdoreHimDaily.tv. We're going to talk about his latest work, The Cyclist. But I'd like to welcome my friend Michael McGlynn to the show. Michael, it's so great to have you on again.
Ron, it's always a great opportunity to chat with you. I love your mission.
So people in the intro probably said, wow, he was a Notre Dame offensive lineman, and the Fighting Irish really had a great season, obviously, under Marcus Freeman. Got to the national championship game. So I'm sure you're happy as an alumnus with the state of Irish football.
It's interesting. When you've played at the level that I have for the Irish and you're in a big Catholic community like I am in Kansas City, I don't even have to follow the games. I get a lot of text messages. And then when we go to Mass and other places, people are always coming up and giving me their comments on the game and their breakdown and their color commentary. So, you know, I can always follow them vicariously through whatever people are thinking and seeing. It was great to see them do well this year. And, you know, as you've interviewed a lot of young men, that's such a formative time for all of us. If you happen to be blessed to play as a college athlete and to have a leader, Marcus being a convert to the Catholic faith, he's put Christ center in that team, and we do all things through him. So how beautiful.
Yeah, it is. Now, people just joining us and haven't heard perhaps our interviews that we taped before are not familiar with AdoreHimDaily.tv. So this was launched in January of 2021, I think January 1st, right? I think that's a feast day, to use the power of story to promote the life-changing benefits of Eucharistic adoration. So tell me how this came to fruition and why you launched Adore Him Daily.
It's interesting. In story, we have a term, slow burn, and I would definitely describe the launch of Adore Him Daily as a concept and an action item, a slow burn. In 2018, I was up in Marytown at the National Shrine of Maxima in Colby, giving a series of what I refer to as concert talks. That last day on Sunday was presenting the Divine Mercy story to people before exposition of the Blessed Sacrament. Make a long story short, I sensed the Lord was trying to tell me something as people kept coming up afterwards and sharing things. So on the long drive back to Kansas City, I decided to frequent a beautiful adoration chapel that my uncle, who was a priest of 54 years in the Archdiocese of Kansas City, Kansas, built, Monsignor Charles McGlynn. And I would go in the morning, and it was so beautiful with the stained glass windows and calming. So I was increasing my weekly adoration time to a couple of times a week. And it was so amazing that within a couple of weeks, I found myself going daily. Well, over the course of several years, I started to keep a journal and wanted more people to know about this. And then the Lord put it on my heart. Well, why don't you use your gift of telling stories through film to draw people to me in this way?
And do you find that storytelling, does it put meat on the bones? How do people react when they hear a story and you're leading them to something far greater?
Well, it's never a bait and switch, because the goal is always to be true to the story and the intent of drawing souls to our Lord. So a lot of times this happens through people that have gone through some type of event in their life that's been significant. They have an encounter with our Lord in his real presence, and then they're drawn to want to do something beautiful for him on behalf of their love for him and souls. And that began to kind of frame in the basics of how do we tell the story of the lives of Eucharistic adorers? Obviously, adoration, the high point in our faith being the holy sacrifice of the Mass. But that extension of that being the Blessed Sacrament, our Lord's words, behold, I will be with you until the end of the ages. So that was the basics of it. And I just started doing some films on this.
Blessed to Play, Ron Meyer. We're chatting today with Michael McGlynn. He's the founder, creator of AdoreHimDaily.tv. And he's a former Notre Dame football player. Okay, so how do these stories come to you, Michael? How you started this, you took the first step, and now you have to get stories to make films out of them. How does that process play out?
Ron, that is an amazing question, because as anyone who might be listening has ever frequented an adoration chapel or had exposition at the church or just quietly sat before our Lord in the tabernacle, it's silent. So we're not really accustomed to chatting before the Lord and conversing, and as we probably shouldn't be. So the stories have come kind of like trickles in different areas. Mm-hmm. But I'll tell you, I've been really blessed the last several years to partner with the Marians in Stockbridge, Massachusetts. Now, Marians of the Immaculate Conception, their Superior General, Father Chris Alar, is a pretty well-known presence online now. Mm-hmm. And they are the official promoters of the Divine Mercy message that we know through St. Faustina, of course, originally through the four gospel writers. But we know Divine Mercy in the image through St. Faustina. They have a weekly show on EWTN called Living Divine Mercy, and I produce films for them. So a lot of times I'll produce 8.5, 9-minute films. It's amazing how many stories they give me that are actually about people who are Eucharistic adorers. And so very naturally, it's been a nice segue into this kind of call within a call within my work.
So you have some special insight into how God's mercy is working in the lives of people, and you create stories out of some of those examples of that. How has this affected you? Are you amazed by what has happened, the transformation in these people's lives? Talk about your own experience vicariously doing these films.
You know, there's kind of two areas of that. One is me as a filmmaker and what I'm dealing with, the subject matter, trying to figure out how to do a film. Then there's the additional piece of just, what am I going to learn from these people when I meet them? It's always commutative, if you will. There's something that I have to give to them in the interview and in working with them pretty closely over several days, but there's always something they have for me. And so I really see God's hand guiding me into these stories. And for instance, the story that we're going to talk about today, I believe it's amazing how much I suffered just getting finally out to Messina, New York to film the story of this amazing young man, mm-hmm. and how much this film was under attack and what our Lord was trying to show me and teach me about suffering. So I think it's true for a lot of us in our work. A lot of the viewers or listeners can probably see how the people they work with in their daily lives and the circumstances, the Lord is always speaking to us, but we do need help to be able to listen and understand, what are you trying to share with me, Lord? What are you trying to show me? And that's always been present in my work. I can't say that I've always gotten it. He usually has to hit me over by the 2x4 occasionally.
Well, you mentioned the word suffering, and we're going to talk about The Cyclist, Michael's latest work, in the second half of the show. But you talk about suffering, but as a an elite athlete who played on a national championship caliber team under a legendary head coach and performed well on the gridiron, you went through suffering as a student athlete at Notre Dame. In fact, if I recall, you were even thinking about quitting at one point. Why don't you tell us that story?
My sophomore year, going into it during 2 days, I did exit the team for about 24 hours. And as I've related before, it's pretty simple. I was undergoing a lot of stress, a lot of pressure. I didn't have prayer in my toolbox. It just wasn't part of my life. And so therefore, I began to buckle under this pressure. It was a call from a beloved uncle of mine, Gary Hentz, that actually helped me kind of have almost like a non-sacramental confession, if you will, on the phone of what was bothering me and what I was failing in. And that call enabled me to go back to Coach Holtz, you know, another day after all this and apologize and say, look, can I be on the team? And of course, you know, he got young men and said, yeah, absolutely. And that was a pivot point in my life. But that year I lost a grandmother that I was very close with that was always close to the rosary. And she had left me a rosary before she died. So then, you know, going into my junior year that summer, I brought the rosary back to South Bend and I started praying a decade a night. And within no time, I had this sense of peace. I never let go of the rosary. I definitely can say that. Like, I've not been consistent in many things in my life. Mm-hmm. I've always been consistent in holding on to the hand of Our Lady. And that's continually opened up doors, most importantly, to her son. Mm-hmm. So I don't know that I could have put into language what I was going through then. I just knew that I was clearly suffering, mm-hmm. but I didn't know the way out. And the reality, it's just amazing, Ron, is that guys to my right and my left also were suffering. Mm-hmm. And everybody was dealing with it in different ways. But we didn't really have an outlet for it. And I think a lot of work is being done now to help these young men to process the difficulties and the crosses of life. And I know that's happening now up at Notre Dame with the athletes, which is wonderful.
Yeah, and athletes are just taught, you know, to tough it out, right? So we don't really talk about suffering. It's kind of put on the shelf. I mean, we really don't think about it, even though everyone is going through it, right? But you had some unique experiences, some unique insights into this. Is that a problem in sports now? We don't admit that we're actually suffering. We're just kind of ignoring it and pushing through it. I guess that's part of it, but is that the healthy way of approaching it?
I would say the positive part of sports for men is that men have to learn to do what's hard and arduous. But the key with being a Catholic athlete is to do it with virtue. Mm-hmm. And the only way to do it with virtue is to have an interior life. Unfortunately, if you were like me in college and you asked me, do you have an interior life? I literally would have thought, is my bedroom clean? And I know what the answer was to that. So, you know, there's regret, but there's also God's mercy. And this is what we always have to try to journey towards. And it's very difficult. And again, this is where the power of story can come into play. When we can hear people that share similar circumstances or doubts or worries or fears or setbacks and see how God worked in their lives to lift them up in a way oftentimes that surprised them, confounded them. Now they're on new footing doing something beautiful for him and souls. That's inspiring because it captures the contrast of deficit to gain. And obviously athletes understand that because we always go through difficulties, but we want that W. So it's kind of how it works.
And we're going to talk about one of these stories, the power of story, called The Cyclist. It's Michael McGlynn's latest work. It could be found on adorehimdaily.tv. Keep it right here. You're listening to Blessed to Play.
EWTN Religious Catalog is your online destination for Catholic books, DVDs, rosaries, and devotionals, and every purchase directly supports EWTN's mission. Buy Catholic. Shop EWTNRC.com today.
Welcome back to Blessed to Play. And now, here's your host, Ron Meyer.
Welcome back to Blessed to Play. Ron Meyer, joined today by Michael McGlynn. Quite an athlete, folks. Played for the University of Notre Dame as a lineman under Coach Lou Holtz. Played in all four major bowl games. How about that? That's not enough for Michael. He's also a great musician. He recorded with some legendary musicians from Gloria Estefan and the Miami Sound Machine to the Allman Brothers Band and Genesis. And he's also the creator of AdoreHimDaily.tv, the power of story to promote the life-changing benefits of Eucharistic adoration. We're going to talk about one of those stories that has an athletic theme to it. It's called The Cyclist. It's the story of Justin Keeble. I don't want to steal your thunder, so give us a synopsis of an overview of Justin's life and why this story compelled you.
This young man is truly amazing. And his brother, Stefan, they watched their parents cycle all over the place. They would go on bike rides. And one day, they witnessed a professional cyclist race. And this really captivated Justin and his brother, Stefan. But, Justin especially, and he became aware of, you know, the Tour de France and things of this sort. And so he started cycling, and his parents supported both of them. And the father was the coach. And it's just beautiful, beautiful family. Well, incredibly, Justin and both his brother were given an opportunity to move to France and train on what would be the equivalent of a cycling farm team that would eventually be on a team that would be in the Tour de France. So he's a teenager now doing this. And when he's over there, he began to develop some debilitating health issues, and which precluded him from continuing on this journey. So they moved back to the States, and around that same time, his brother became ill with similar symptoms, and so did his father. Mm. And this incredible story begins to play out that is unlike anything I've ever heard of. But at the core, Justin began to fall away from his Catholic faith and really question, what is the meaning of suffering, and what is its value? And he wasn't satisfied with the typical answers that were being given by well-meaning, you know, people of the faith, people that were helping form him theologically in school and things of this sort. So while he was trying to work out his own health and help his father and his father literally stay alive with his own research, he began to tackle this deeper question. And he's a very, very gifted young man. I think he's probably a genius. I mean, he's very gifted in the mind. This is a guy that got 100% on his entrance exam in a medical school, but his health precluded him from following through with that. And his journey and what he's discovering is amazing.
So all these challenges in Justin's life and the suffering, which is very strong, severe, however you want to look at it. When did he make that turning point? What was the catalyst that drew him back to the church after being away?
You know, there's a number of factors that took place. I know that as a family, they went through a little bit of a reversion themselves. And they, as a family, were actually looking at what do other faith traditions teach. But it was the Eucharist that brought them all back in again. And they're a very devout family today. It was the Eucharist that started to really ignite Justin and his family. But in particular with his own study, though, this is a guy who wanted to research and try to understand what was going on, especially with his father's condition. And he started engaging with other professors and researchers who couldn't devote the type of time that they needed to figure out what would work. And because Justin and his brother's symptoms were somewhat similar to his father, they were able to work with doctors and discover certain protocols that would help his father and extend his father's life. And his father's still living today. It is a remarkable story, but packed with inside that is the reality of how do you deal with your suffering? This is a guy whose eyes don't tear up the way that ours do. So he has to wear special glasses. He can't see the way he needs to see. So he had to develop a whole rig to just be able to read books. And he could only read so quickly at a time. And then he would have to stop and rest. And so, I mean, it's kind of like when, you know, the Sistine Chapel is being painted and, you know, the scaffolding has to be built and the pigment has to be figured out just to get into position to paint. But then in Justin's case, he could only paint for 30 minutes and he'd have to stop for the day. Mm. And meanwhile, he sees his father's life deteriorating and his own life deteriorating. You talk about hope and suffering. Mm-hmm. This kid has been in the crucible of it, but God's hand has done amazing things through him and their family.
Blessed to Play, Ron Meyer chatting once again with Michael McGlynn, creator, founder of Adore Him Daily TV. We're talking about his latest work, The Cyclist. Now, this was a mystery illness. I mean, he didn't, there was no diagnosis that was really, you know, this is definitely what you have. So he had this ambiguity about what he had. And that I would think that would make it all the more difficult to deal with it.
They didn't know what they were chasing. And that's why they had to, Justin had to learn how to really do research on the molecular level. Mm. And now his brother is also very gifted at computer programming. And so he helped Justin as well. But Justin ultimately ended up writing everything out in these molecular trees on these big pieces of paper. And they got so big that he just got lost in the forest. So then he creates a computer program to help him do this. I mean, honestly, I was in awe on so many levels of his determination, but most importantly, his deep, deep, deep love for his mother, who's always bedside by his father. Mm-hmm. And for his father and for his brother and his wife and their children, of which he's a godfather to. They live on a property up in Messina, New York. They were blessed to be able to find this compound and to live up there. And now he's seeking to share the things that he is learning about the meaning of suffering, what our Catholic faith teaches us, but also through the experiences that he's had, and especially as it relates to living it out in the family.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's an interesting point because we talk about his suffering, but also God's love was manifest in a very concrete way through his mother's love for the father in that family situation. And that had to project, obviously, onto Justin as well. the thing that came to mind when you were explaining this, that Justin was making sense out of suffering. Maybe you could talk about that. I mean, not everyone's going to have the story of Justin, but we all have to make sense out of our own suffering, don't we?
Justin answers the question of suffering at the end of the film, and so I'm not going to spoil it for the listeners. You can go to adoremdaily.tv and watch The Cyclist. What he has to say is simple but so profound. But just because you have the answer doesn't mean that it's easy. Mm-hmm. And so the information and the knowledge that we have about our faith is important. It guides us. It is the word, if you will. But then we have to allow the grace of God to work in our lives. And this comes through the sacraments. So Justin is a very devout man, and he spends time before our Eucharistic Lord. And he does go to Mass as frequently as he possibly can. And he's in one of those parishes where they've got the priest travels. So they don't always have a priest there. You know, they're kind of in a rural area. But it's been an ongoing journey for him and his family. And you're right. He has seen this modeled and lived in how the mother and the father relate to each other as well. And he understands the reparational aspect of suffering as well. I mean, if there's anything we need to understand more so than his story, is that before our Lord's, passion and death and resurrection, suffering really didn't have value and meaning. It was a byproduct, an unfortunate accident of our fall. But after that, all suffering took on intrinsic value and meaning, and became really the currency of heaven, as countless saints have shown us, but especially the witness of our own Lord and Our Lady as well. Mm-hmm. So Justin's story really helps us relate back to what our faith shows us from the cross on forward, and helps us perhaps begin to reframe and move our perception about the difficulties in our life, to know that even if they're difficulties that have come in our own hand, our Lord is there. There was a word I was reflecting on this morning in my holy hour, mm-hmm. and it was this reality of being summoned, and the Lord does summon us. He summons us to his church, to his Mass, to his heart, to his mother. And that summoning deserves and almost requires a response on our part. And this is really where the role of witnesses like Justin and his family come in. And I have this incredible, incredible privilege, gift of meeting people like this that obviously help me as I go back to my own life. But then I get to use my artistry that God gave me to try to help illuminate God's action in their lives that hopefully helps people trust him more and respond generously to this divine summoning that is the Holy Catholic Church.
So people listening to this show, and we've talked, the theme would be suffering to a large extent. How do people heal from suffering? What would be the way of going about it? I know during Lent, there's a number of practices within the church that could help us reflect on that. But what would be your advice to those people who want to heal from their suffering?
There's an old song that was written before I was born, but I've heard it used in a nostalgic sense in films. I think the line goes, "He ain't heavy, he's my brother." Now, anyone that's a parent would understand these words well. Mm-hmm. Caring for a child in the middle of the night, caring for a spouse. When there is love, the focus no longer is on the suffering. The focus is on the love. And the weightiness of it actually can become a joy. And so I know just in my early days as a parent, I'm sharing this with our daughter the other night. I said it was getting up with your mom in the middle of the night just to keep her awake as she was nursing and caring for you kids, someone she didn't, do well with the lack of rest. I've never really needed a lot of rest. So what do you know? But it was suffering with her in the middle of the night that helped forge my love for our children in the early days. I didn't have the opportunity to obviously carry them for 9 months and birth them, nor would I want that. I was happy to do what I had. But, the reality of helping each other and walking each other in faith is the key, I believe, is what the church teaches. And also to know that, as a priest told me recently, that if something is happening in your life that's bringing about a suffering, and you've brought it to the Lord and prayed about it and it persists, be at peace, because it's often necessary and essential, and God's allowing it. And so in that, we find the grace to continue on. But I also think we have to talk about it with other people, though. This business of going to our corner and burying it, like a lot of us athletes did in college, mm-hmm. can become very destructive. because it'll come out in different ways that are very unhealthy. So it's important that we have people that we can talk to about this and to share what's going on with us.
Yeah, that's a good point. We don't really have to suffer alone, but to get those people in our life that we're close to share sometimes our deepest pain, hurts, whether it be health concerns, emotional, mental, certainly that could aid in the healing process. Well, Michael McGlynn has been our guest, and I want you to check out his work, folks, at adorehimdaily.tv. Michael has the cyclist up there right now. I know there's more stories and the power of storytelling that are going to be put on that site. But I want to thank Michael for sharing his vision. I had a chance to spend time with Michael on retreat, and I know I was really touched by his music. I don't think he had the platform back then, but he's putting his creative talents to work at adorehimdaily.tv. Michael, thanks so much. I appreciate the time, and thank you for sharing a little bit about the cyclist with us here on Blessed to Play.
I'm so grateful to be with you and your listeners. You know, as we all go into Lent, a lot of us are probably wondering, you know, where do I begin? I'm definitely not some wise sage sitting on the hill with a long beard trying to figure this out. But, you know, Psalm 50 gives us some beautiful insight into the deepest questions of our heart. And it is, Lord, let us see your face and we shall be saved. I just want to invite everyone this Lent to begin to renew their commitment to spending time before our Eucharistic Lord and to allow him to demonstrate his love for you. I believe that's probably something so many of us are wanting of because we're so used to leaning into our work and our prayers. We forget to let the Lord work for us.
Thank you, Michael. Those are good words. Thank you. Hey, Blessed to Play fans, check us out on the web at blessedtoplay.com. That's blessed2play.com. You can like us on Facebook and hit us up on the platform X at Blessed to Play. For Michael McGlynn, I'm Ron Meyer. Thanks so much for joining us right here on Blessed to Play.
You've been listening to Blessed to Play with host Ron Meyer on the EWTN Global Catholic Network. If you have a question or comment about today's show, feel free to email us at info@blessedtoplay.com. That's blessed, the number 2, play.com. You can also connect with the show on the web at www.blessedtoplay.com. Again, that's blessed, the number 2, play.com. Join us again next time for Blessed to Play on the EWTN Global Catholic Network.